What a wonderful, wonderful hymn that was opened up under his wings. Now, many of you, weren't able to sing it because you didn't have the words. Well, I'm going to supply them for you right now. Under his wings, I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. Just remember that. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child. Under his wings, what a refuge in sorrow. We have sorrow all around us. We have fresh sorrows. And what a refuge that we have in that. How the heart yearningly turns to its rest often when earth has no balm for my healing. There I find comfort, and there I am blessed. So under his wings, oh, what precious enjoyment, there will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Well, that ends the discourse. Thank you very much. Pondering and thinking upon those words, what a wonderful blessing that is. I'm up here trying to sing with Brother Danny and this harmony that's coming forth, and I'm getting this big lump in my throat just thinking about it. Looking at Sister Judy, and I'm going, well, just starting to choke up. Why? These things, these words inspire us. Pause. They're inspiring. So, to expire means all the life goes out of you. To be inspired, you're being built up. Reminds me, Sister Linda's going to say, get to your stuff subject. We used to go visit Brother Poe, Wilbur Poe. He was in the Cincinnati area. And here he's 90-some years old, and we knock on the door. He comes to the door, and he's kind of feeble. Oh, brother, come in. You know, and there we are. We come in. And can hardly move around and talk. You know, about an hour to 2 hours later, I mean, he's all energized and he's up, and I don't know what he did after we left, but certainly this was so inspiring. The inspiration of talking about the truth, the things that we love. Inspiring. So, I'm going to start with a little poem here. It's called A Prayer. And it's from one of the authors that we all know, Author Unknown. So, there are a lot of those. I'm going to read two of them today, this one and another one. And it's called A Prayer, and it's in Poems of the Way, page 157. It says, keep me in thy secret place, dear Lord, I pray, neath the shadow of thy wing from day to day. Give angels charge concerning me to keep my way. Let truth my shield and buckler be. From day to day, arm me with peace and charity. For this I pray, guard me, keep me in thy way. I thought that, what a wonderful little thought to open up with. You know, these are our prayers, you know. Hymns are prayers. Poems are prayers. Because of, just think of the ones who wrote these wonderful words. And they're inspiring. Well, we have the text in front of us. And we'd like to today try to go over a little more rounded portion of this just than the ones text, because we have to lead up into that, do we not? So, primarily, we're going to be discussing Psalms 91, 1 through 4, Psalms 91, 1 through 4. And we'll just read those right off. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Well, dear brethren, I thought about how to begin all of this, and the thought came that this subject really is a contrast between fear, being fearful, being afraid, and the ability to have confidence in, to trust in, a higher power. Having a confidence in a power that is arrayed for every child of God, and every there is emphasized, every child of God that are trusting in the overruling providences of and protection of the Most High God. And we have so many scriptures that really point to this trust. Psalms 46, 1, 2, and 3. Well, I think we're going to read Psalms 46, 1 through 7. Psalms 46, 1 through 7. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Well, why? Well, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We have so many promises, precious they are. When we think about Psalms 91, in all the scriptures, every scripture but two are precious promises. You'll find them in your precious promise book. That's how important these scriptures are and these sentiments, that we take them and drink deep of them. Well, dear brethren, when did fear really enter the human family's lives? Well, remember in Genesis 3, 9, and 10, going all the way back to the beginning, this is where it began. Reading from Genesis 3, 9, and 10, and the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, and Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. I was afraid. Here, fear first entered into the heart of man, because I was naked and I hid myself. Even those who are the most faithful all down through the age, were they above having fear come into their heart and mind? No, they were not. But they had confidence and trust. Faith is only used in the Old Testament that we could find only twice. But trust, confidence, is used so many times. This is what we are interested in. Well, we think of Genesis 15:1, where God is saying to Abram, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And remember, if Abraham was told not to fear, the father of the faithful, you know, this is an interesting concept. See, fear not. Well, what about as the covenants were being given first to Abraham, then to Isaac, and then to Jacob? We have Genesis 26:24. And the Lord appeared to Isaac, saying, "Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and will multiply thy seed for thy servant Abraham's sake." And then continuing on in Genesis 43:6. And he said to Jacob, "I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will be there to make of thee a great nation." So with every portion of time or part of time where there were fear maybe enter into someone's heart, there was always an overriding factor. Fear not, for I am thy help, thy strength. Well, what does he say up to us? Our Lord said, "Fear not, little flock." Why? "For it is your Father's pleasure," not just pleasure, but good pleasure, "to give you the kingdom." Luke 12:32. He wants us to have this kingdom. If he didn't want us to have and be part of it, he wouldn't have offered it. So let us take advantage of these things. So thinking about all that, we enter into our text for this morning. Psalms 91:1. And again, we'll read it. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And that's from the King James. And I liked it from the Leser also. We'll read it from there too. "He who sitteth under the secret protection of the Most High shall rest under the shadow of the Almighty." Well, he that dwells, what does this really mean? Where are we living? Where is our abode? I think these are all good questions to ask, you know, and we should ask ourselves often. What are we doing? Where are we? Are we abiding in him? To dwell means to abide as a permanent resident, not just a passer through. Yeah, although we are passing through, but while we're here, we want our abiding in him to be a permanent place. We don't want to come into this arrangement and then walk out and leave. See, that would not be a good thing. There would not be a happifying ending for that. To inhabit for a time, to live in a place, to have a habitation. So where are we living? Where is our treasure? The theme in Muhammad Azhar's, where is our treasure? See? We want it to be where it can. We put all of our thoughts and minds and hopes and trust in our treasure, which is in heaven. Well, in looking at this particular subject, we came across the scripture in Songs of Solomon 2:14. And it reads, "O my dove, thou art in the cleft of the rocks, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely." Well, I thought that was an interesting thought. The secret place of the stairs. What in the world does that mean, you know? So when we look up stairs in the plural is a series of steps by which persons ascend to a higher room in a building. The secret place of the stairs. Did we walk up that staircase? Huh? Are we still reaching that height? What a wonderful thought I thought this was. Are we dwelling in the heavenly places? Now, reprint 37:54 went over a thought here that Brother Russell was interested. He made up a little, you know, we have these little bookmarks like this. He had the vow on one side, and then on the other side, it was put the dove. Okay? And it's also said that in Brother Russell's Brooklyn office, that he had this great, large portrait of a dove. And under it was the words to this poem I'm going to read you right now. And it's called The Bridegroom's Dove. Sister Linda said, how are you going to read that? Well, I'm going to try my best. When you think of these things, you get choked up when you become emotional with these things. Here we go. My dove, the bridegroom speaks to whom? Whom thou thinkest thou, meaneth he? Say, O my soul, canst thou presume he thus addressed me, thee? Yes, 'tis the bridegroom's voice of love calling thee, O my soul, his dove. The dove is gentle, meek, and mild. Deserve I then the name? I look within in vain to seek aught which can give a claim. Yet made so by redeeming love, my soul, thou art the bridegroom's dove. Methinks, my soul, that thou mayest see in this endeavoring world reasons why Jesus likens thee to this defenseless bird, reasons which show the bridegroom's love to his poor, helpless, timid dove. The dove hath neither claw nor sting nor weapon for the fight. She owns her safety to her wing, her victory to flight. A shelter hath the bridegroom's love provided for his helpless dove. As the poor dove before the hawk quick to her refuge flies, so need I in my daily walk the wings which faith supplies to bear me where the bridegroom's love places beyond all harm his dove. My soul of native power bereft to Calvary repairs Emmanuel is the rocky cleft, the secret of the stairs, since placed there by the bridegroom's love, what evil can befall his dove? My soul now hid within a rock, the rock of ages called, amid the universal shock is fearless, unappalled. A cleft therein, prepared by love, in safety hides the bridegroom's dove. O happy dove, thus weak, thus safe, do I resemble her? Then too, my soul, O Lord, vouchsafe a dove-like character, pure, harmless, gentle, full of love, make me in spirit, Lord, a dove. Well, my fellow doves, I hope you got an inspiration from that as I did reading over that. The old English is a little hard to read and to follow sometimes, but how poignant I thought I found it. And again, it was from that other famous composer, author unknown. So it's interesting, you know, in the kingdom, hopefully we'll appreciate that and one will step forward. Well, I wrote that, you know, when I needed it most. So just think about those associations that we have. Do we know some who may have been our brethren by the words that they write in poetry, in hymns. So the Lord really knows those that are His. Well, the question again, are we dwelling in the secret place or under the secret protection? Now, Webster's definition for secret means properly separate, hence hid, concealed from the notice or knowledge of all persons except the individual or individuals concerned. You know, no one else knows who we are save those who are in the same room that we are. It's always been said that we were the only public-private society going ever. You know, we can witness to our Heavenly Father's love and care for us all day long, but you get that quizzical look, huh? What are you saying? They don't understand. But we understand. And aren't we glad? Well, this condition or standing of entire consecration to God as a spirit-begotten child of God, when we are in that condition, we can feel His love. We know where we are. We trust. And that word is going to be used a lot. We trust in His word. We have confidence in that. Our dwelling place, typified by the holy now, and in the most holy beyond the veil, under the shadow of God's protection. Protection, shelter, favor. Yes, dear brethren, you know, we have that scripture. We do have an anchor. And that's in Hebrews 6:18-19. Hebrews 6:18-19. That we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Sure and steadfast. Doing our part, we can have that anchor. We see that. Do you have that anchor? Can you see and see yourself in that condition? Well, you know, if sometimes when we're looking at the flesh, we say, no, it's difficult to see us. But we need to look at ourselves as we look at each other through and under the robe, the protection of the Heavenly Father's care. Well, precious scriptural examples are, I'm going to give you two or three here. Psalm 17:8. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Do we claim that promise? Keep me? Is that our petition sometimes? Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Psalms 27:5 in Psalms. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me upon a rock. No, let me read that. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Psalms 31:20 in Psalms. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. We're in that secret place, are we not? And then finally in Psalms 32:7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. In the Exceeding Precious Promises book, under for Psalms 91:1, we'll just read this short little paragraph. It's from reprint 1788. It says, the secret place of the Most High, beloved, is the place of intimate communion and fellowship with God through the blessed privilege of prayer and through faith in His precious word and His promised providential care. Oh, how precious is this hiding place. What rest and refreshment we find in the midst of the commotion that is even now bestirring the whole world. Here we find rest, peace, light, and joy, which the world can neither give nor take away. If we have this rest, nothing can shake us. Nothing can shake us. Neither that rest, peace, light, and joy, which the world can neither give nor take away. So, to abide under the shadow of the Almighty as typed by the cloud covering the tabernacle, which symbolized the Lord's presence and protection. Brother Russell brings that to our attention in reprint 1913. You know, brethren, we're under the shadow of the Lord, His protection. Our Heavenly Father's shadow goes a long way. Even sometimes when we're at the outer edges, we still feel His tender, loving care, do we not? And like that coachman, we don't want to get out there on the periphery edges. We want to, if we're going around the mountain and might fall off a cliff, we want to stay as close to the as we can. So, Heavenly Father casts a big, long shadow. So, as long as, now there's a little caveat there, as long as we are abiding in Him. Then moving to Psalms 91:2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Well, who is speaking here? Well, it's brought to our attention that David is speaking, but is a type of Christ Jesus addressing the church. This is addressing us. Can we find it? Can we see ourselves in these scriptures? To those who are new creatures in Christ, we can claim the promises and have the same attention of Jehovah God, our Father, as Jesus did. This is part of the oneness of the divine family. We learned an awful lot about the oneness of the divine family in John 17. We have His ear, as it were. He is never too busy to hear our prayer and to consider our petitions. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Again, is the continued promise. So as we think of that these thoughts are in harmony with the scripture, which intimates that there is a guardian angel for each one of the Lord's saints who has supervision over us. Psalms 91:11, just in this particular psalm itself. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. To keep thee in all thy ways. Psalms 91:12. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that are His. And then in Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits? So we have plenty of promises that tell us that our angels, there are angels who are watching out for us as long as we are abiding under His wings. Matthew 18:10, we are told to take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Always behold the face of my Father. Each potential son of God has a special angel to care for his interest. We are to get the thought that there is no delay in the bringing of any and everything which pertains to our welfare and interest before the attention of the great King. Have you felt that protection? When we look at that particular scripture in Psalms 91:2, it's a very personal thing. He is my. Can we put ourselves in there? He is my refuge, or shelter, or protection from danger or distress. He is my fortress. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, Psalms 18. He is my God, my mighty one. In Him I trust or have confidence in. He that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Proverbs 29. O Lord, Thou art my trust from my youth. Psalms 71. Just think of all these scriptures that really are arrayed for ourselves. for those who are dwelling here. Psalms 91:3. For he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Interesting wording here, and we kind of were thinking about this, and certainly we were guided and directed by the thoughts of our dear pastor. When we think of the snare of the fowler, a fowler is one who catches birds. A professional bird catcher. Well, who's the professional bird catcher attemptee for the Lord's people? He's not a hunter, you know, although he walketh around like a roaring lion sometimes, seeking whom he may devour, but it's Satan himself, is it not? He doesn't have to hunt and fish for the world. He already has them under his control. Well, who's he interested in? Who does he want to snare? Why, it's us. Fowler is one who catches bird, a professional bird catcher. We want to stay very close to our Heavenly Father. Now, in reprint 5693, under the heading, Keep Me From the Snares. I thought this was interesting. Satan, and here's Brother Russell's comments. Satan is represented as a fowler, a hunter who's seeking after the Lord's people, even as earthly hunters are prone to hunt after speckled birds. Now, one of his snares, Brother Russell goes on in this particular article, it says, organizations, and we talked about that early on, Nick and others, and Brother Ed, you know, organizations are important things to question and stay away from, are one of his tools or snares. Brother Russell, in one of his articles, mentions this in reprint 1866, under the heading, Concerning Profitable Meetings. Beware of organizations. That's the first line he starts out with. Beware. Why? There's always an interior motive a lot of times why someone wants you to be in this organization or that organization. So it's we should be wary of things as they come our way and to check things out. He says, beware of organization. It is wholly unnecessary. The Bible rules will be the only rules you will need. Do not seek to bind others' consciences, and do not permit others to bind yours. I've appreciated that all along. You know, we don't want to infringe our conscience upon someone else, nor can we let them infringe theirs upon us. I think that is such wise counsel to consider. Believe and obey so far as you can understand God's word today, and so continue growing in grace and knowledge and love day by day. So I thought that was a wonderful example of one of those snares. Well, birds are freer than animals on the ground or the fish in the sea. Birds are not restricted to one or the other. Birds can fly high above land and sea. And thinking about this, the Lord's people can mount up on eagle's wings. Don't you just love that scripture from time to time? There's someone who has a lesson on that, Isaiah 40:31. We who are dwelling in the heavenly places have much greater liberty. Liberty was talked about this morning. Don't let anybody infringe upon that. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the Father, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The higher we are, the clearer vision we can have to see afar off. We want to be like that scripture. Thine eye shall see and behold the land that is afar off. You know, we want to be these far-seeing ones, don't we?
Matthew 4:28. Someone was mentioning, someone mentioned this. You know, wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. Well, we didn't kill this food, dear brethren, but we're here partaking upon it, are we not? That's what we want to do. We don't want to go out and kill fresh meat and lean to our own understanding. Don't want to do that. We want to stick with that which has been tried, true, and proven. So, remember the secret of the stairs. The higher we are, the clearer we can see. Now, we had on one of our trips in a little airplane, we flew from Mahomet, actually Champaign, all the way out to Salem, Oregon, three times. And one of those times we were flying in this little single-engine, four-place airplane around over Jackson Hole. Well, if you're on the ground, here you are, you can see a bunch of trees, but you don't know what's on the other side of that forest. But if you're in the air, you can see a lot. And there was the mountain there, trees here, and a lake right in front of that mountain. And the entire image was mirrored of that mountain in that lake. It's like that for us, is it not? The higher we are, the clearer we can see, and the more we can see. So, little experience that we had, it kind of reminded us of that. In the reprint, 844, under the heading, "The Pestilence of Infidelity Will Stalk Abroad." Brother Russell, and this was from reprint 5801, also the comments. "Every error held obscures and hinders some truth. And we have now come to the time when every child of God needs all the panoply of truth, the armor of God. He who has not put on the whole armor of God is sure to fall into error in this evil day, this hour of temptation. And judgment must begin at the house of God. Who shall be able to stand? None except those who are building themselves up in the most holy faith, with precious promises and vital doctrines of the Word of God." We often talk about, why do we meet together? To build one another up in this most holy faith. That's our hope, isn't it? You know, we come to conventions like this, it's twofold. We want to not only be a blessing, but we want to receive blessings. And is that not always the case? We think that it is. Well, he will keep us from the noisome pestilence. Noisome means noxious to health, hurtful, mischievous, unwholesome, injurious, offensive to the smell or other senses, disgusting. Pestilence gives the thought of a plague. And to identify that, any sudden fatal epidemic is designed by this word, something that is fatal. Reminds me of the thought of those of the spirit-begotten ones that came out of or were in Christendom or Babylon, one and the same during 1914 to the 1918 period. I think that's when many of those dear ones were released from that condition, or hopefully much earlier would be kept or spared from receiving of her plagues. "Come out of her, my people." We just mentioned that. Why? "Lest you be partakers of her sins and receive of this fatal condition." Fatal. You gotta come out of that. We don't want to be part of that fatal disease. So, dear brethren, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, settle you. That's what we want. Now, we said all that to get to this particular text. Psalms 91:4. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall trust. You shall, that's the King James, pardon me there. And from the Revised Version, shalt take thou. I'm going to start this over, okay? King James Version. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall trust. Revised Version says, shalt thou take refuge, of that last part. And in Leeser, shalt thou find shelter. So I like all of those words, that trust, refuge, shelter, all carries this thought of protection. And to cover, he will cover you in this condition. Hebrews word H5526, and it means a primitive root, properly to entwine as a screen, by implication to fence in, cover over, or figuratively to protect, to cover, defend, hedge in, join together, shut up. So to cover from that Hebrew word from 5526 carries that thought. And it's sawkak. I can't, you know, I never try to pronounce these words. You just give the, you can look it up. Okay. Psalm 17:8 again. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Our Heavenly Father's love, wings, and care and protection, feathers, are his wings and feathers. See, love, care and protection kind of identifies itself. His love is his wings. His care and protection is his feathers, shielding us from all harm, keeping us warm and safe. Reprint 54:38. Reprint 54:38. So I like that little thought from Brother Russell, kind of identifying and put a definition of what the wings, to his mind, would mean, would be love. What the protection would mean under the feathers. So, reprint 1432, a little sentence here. So close to his heart does Jehovah gather his loyal and faithful children that they feel the warmth of his love. And the responsive language of their heart is, I will abide in thy tabernacle under thy protection forever. When we think about that, Psalm 61:4, 3, 5, and 8. Psalms 61:4, 3, 5, and 8 came to mind. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. And then finally in verse 8, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Well, what are your vows? Well, it was your consecration. Daily, will I perform these vows? That's what we want to do. You know, we have the thought of Psalms 50 and 5, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. All that has made this covenant of all those who have made this covenant of consecration are dwelling safely under the Father's love, under His care and protection. Well, wings and feathers are both needed for flight and for protection. It has been suggested that the wings and feathers represent the Old and New Testament. I'm sure we've all heard that. And I think as we think about that, yes, if we don't know about these things, how can we be protected from anything? See? The proof's in there if we know about it. So God's two witnesses, the Word of God. We are told by the bird experts that there are four types of wings. You can look it up. I'm not going to relate all this scientific stuff to you, but it's birds and their feathers. You can go. It got nice little illustrations there. You can really see the makeup of a bird and how appropriate it would be as we consider these things. Perhaps this might suggest the four types of wings, the four attributes of God. God's character, character attributes are ever close by our view, especially His love and mercy, shown toward His little ones, such wisdom and power also seen by us. So, I thought that made sense to me, you know, four types of wings, perhaps. It was an illustration. We also are told that there are seven types of feathers. I like these numbers, don't you? 2, 4, 7, okay? Do we not see the perfect way the Father takes care of each one? 7, it's a picture of perfection. 2 Samuel 22:33. God is my strength and power, and He maketh my way perfect. Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. 2 Timothy 3:17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no veritableness, neither shadow of turning. We are told that there are also 10 uses for the feathers. 10 is a symbol for completeness, for flight, for keeping us warm and cool, protection from impact, defense, both physical and visual, incubation of eggs, brooding of young, display, camouflage, hunting by touch, carrying water in some cases. The picture is that of a mother hen, and we see that behind us, do we not? When the fowler is about, clucks for her brood, calling them under her wings, under the special protection. The cluck corresponds with the vow. That's from reprint 4304. And then from reprint 5438, paragraph 1, the soft, downy feathers under the mother's hen's wings serve to keep the little chicks warm and hide them from their enemies. And then lastly, in the we thought that was very nice. I started about 6 minutes or 7 minutes into the hour, but that's okay. just saying. Okay. Thank you, brother. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Shield. You know, as a noun, it's a piece of armor varying widely in form and size, carried apart from the body, usually on the left arm, as a defense against swords, lances, arrows, and so on. As a verb, it means to protect someone or something with or as if with a shield, to serve as a protection for, to hide or conceal, protect by hiding. A buckler is a small round shield held by a handle or worn on the arm, any protection or defense. Yes, his truth, that grand system of truth, comprised in the divine plan of the ages, is an ample shield and buckler to all who in simplicity of heart receive it and prove faithful to it. It is the armor of God, reprint 33:32. So, dear brethren, let us put on the armor of light, as noted in Romans 13:12. Ephesians 6:11 through 13, let us put on the whole armor of God. Now, Brother Russell in 34:41, the scripture, the harvest message in its various features, bearing on every phase of truth now due and every phase of error now being brought forward, is God's keeping power by which, according to his guarantee, we know that nothing shall by any means hurt the feet, members of the true body of Christ. So we have 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture given. We know what that's for. 2 Timothy 2:15, to study, to show thyself approved. Psalms 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. 2 Samuel 22:31, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all that trust in him. So, dear brethren, we had read the 1 Peter 5-10, to humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time by casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And so that's what we want to do. And want to leave you with this last scripture, Romans 8:38-39. For I am persuaded, are we persuaded, dear brethren, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities,